Thanks for the introduction. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. So I have prepared about 18 slides and allocated about 30 minutes. I will leave some time for Q&A at the end. Today, I'm going to share our experience of using scripts and SPICE model for IBIS MI modeling. So this is the agenda. So first, I will talk about the motivation, why we want to do this, and then give some background to set the role, like what is MI and what is the flow and how we can probably plug in the script or SPICE space. And then we'll go into the details about the modeling flow and give examples respectively for script and SPICE model. Today, what I presented here is more than talk on the paper. I have also provided the example models, which you can download from the ibis.org website. From there, you can test around the IBIS MI model combined with script and SPICE model respectively. And finally, give a summary and Q&A. So motivation. Nowadays, because of the high-speed SerDes, and most of the simulation is more than just a time domain traditional SPICE model simulation. So in this type of simulation, we typically require the IBIS MI. And this is true for your internal analysis, even when you're just doing the product development. But at the end, you are going to release the model, right? Since you cannot release your SPICE or transistor model, you need to have some kind of industrial standard. So IBIS MI will more or less get involved. However, comparing to the traditional IBIS, MI modeling is technically more challenging. First of all, of course, you need to know the IBIS, you need to read the spec, section 10.2, a lot of description, and then you need to know the channel analysis fundamentals. And then you get into the coding for MI in C, C++, then compile into a DLL on various platforms. So it takes much longer to ramp up the modeling process, even before you can have a first valid model. So we are often asked whether we can simplify the process. First, people will ask, instead of using C, C++, can I use some kind of scripting language? Further, we can instead the concept to use even existing SPICE model. So this is the motivation. So I have three slides for background. When I start doing the SI analysis, at that time, typical analysis method is running, say, HSPICE for like 100 nanoseconds. We have all the models and we run this time domain simulation. At the end, we do some post-processing to extract the figure of merit. So that's many years ago. Now, because of the SerDes, in order to have a certain level of a complex level, you need to run many more bits. So the old, the traditional simulation method is no longer valid. And we need to have updated analysis methodology for SerDes or channel analysis. So there are two ways to do this analysis. The first one is using the assumption of LTI. The channel itself, say represented by the S parameter, we can assume it's LTI, it's passive. And then with some fixing, right, you can have some causal S parameter. So the channel is LTI. Now, if your driver and receiver are LTI, then we can participate in the LTI analysis. In the LTI analysis, the assumption is we use a single pulse or impulse, and then you combine with the bit stream. Then using this pulse, you can do a lot of convolution using superposition. So even giving the pulse, you can get a lot of information. If the circuit is non-linear and time-varying, then we cannot use this type of method. But we still cannot afford to run the lengthy 100 nanosecond simulation of so many bits. So we need to have a novel methodology, which is the time domain still, but it's bit by bit convolution or kind of with some assumption to speed up the process. So these two methodologies are introduced to support the SerDes of modern day channel analysis. This is a graph is that without this type of equalization, if we're just using the channel with the traditional IBIS or analog front end, A lot of times the eyes are closed or they are very small. So we need to introduce the circuit before and after the iris. So because the traditional iris cannot support these two new methodologies, we need to have a new model. That's why MIR introduced. Next slide, I have more details about, of course, you are expert in this field, but next slide, we will list some of the functions for the MI. But basically, the MI model includes three parts, right? First of all, we have a dot iris. This is the analog front end. Even though it's analog front end, technically speaking, the iris and the MI are mutually independent. In the iris file, there's only one section called algorithmic model. There it points to the path of the .mi file and .dll file. This iris file provides analog front end. Then we have the MI file, which is like a parameter. This parameter will be passed by the circuit simulator and sent into the DLL or the shell object. The shell object and DLL file are compiled code. The MI file are plain text. So people can kind of modify the value if it's allowed. Now, when looking at this parameter MI file, if I am a modeler, I want to create a MI model, but I have no knowledge at all. By looking at this plain text MI file, first I was saying this looks complicated. But actually, it is not, because the circuit simulator is responsible for passing the MI file and pass to the DLL file. By the time the DLL file receives this parameter, it has been all this tree structure has been strict bound into the value and key and value pair. So it's much simplified. So if I am a modeler, when I'm going to about to model the MI model file, first of all, I need to know that this parameter file is not what I will receive. What I will receive is the parameter in the form of key and value pair. Of course, the DLL and SO file are compiled, but it's compiled according to the IBUS MI spec. Now the spec is of version 6.1, it allows up to five functions. So these are five MI functions. Now when I look at this one, the resolve and resolve clause are more related to the parameter resolving. So not all the models have to deal with, right? So if I'm a beginner and go to model the MI, most likely I can ignore these two. And you don't even have to implement these two. The next one is the MI clause. MI clause is like a garbage collector. This implementation will be in C and C++. You need to allocate some memory, some pointer. At the end, you need to free that memory. That's what the MI clause is all about. Having that said, a modern operating even system, even if you don't release the memory, when the program ends, typically it will return the memory back to operating system. That's why in systems like Windows, you don't have that many BSOD, blue screen of death, because this, even if you're not doing a good job here, the system may be able to do it for you. So among these five functions, actually the most important part are these two, MI init and MI gateway. Previously, I mentioned that there are two methodologies to support the high-speed circuit simulation. The first one is the LTI superposition based. MI init can support this type of analysis. For LTI processing, the modeler has the option to not implement the gateway. So I can say init return false equal to true, gateway exit state false. That means I only implement the MI init. And what I need to do is to implement the LTI convolution transfer function in this function. Now, if I know my model is the NOTV, nonlinear time variant, then the LTI assumption is not sufficient. So I can say init return false equal to false, but at gateway is true. In that case, I need to implement the gateway function. So in summary, this slide, among these five functions, the init and gateway are there to support the modern day circuit analysis methodologies, and they are the most important. Now, when we look at the screen capture from the spec, when we look at this argument, as a modeler, one should Now that, just like when we start with the college, we have the computer class. We have two types of passing argument. One is the pass by value. The other is the pass by reference. So all these primitive types, these long, are passed by value. So a circuit simulator will pass a value, say, number of aggressors to the AMI models. Even the AMI model modify the value inside the program, the circuit simulator will not get affected because these are passed by value. On the other hand, this double pointer, the waveform matrix, these are passed by reference. A circuit simulator will get the initial channel impulse response, for example, pass that into the DLL or .so file. The model itself do all this computation. At the end of computation, it put the result back to this pointer. And at the end of result, at the end of the model call, when it returns back to the circuit simulator, this value gets changed. And that's how the circuit simulator knows what the end result will be, because these are passed by reference. Whatever you do inside your model, it will affect the function or the simulator calling these two functions. Now, these two functions both have this waveform pointer, double pointer. And as I mentioned, these are passed by reference. It's using these two reference pointer and the pass by reference mechanism that complete the communication of the model response and the upper level circuit simulator. So as a modeler, the key job is to make use of the arguments, do computation, at the end, put the value back to the pointer so that the simulator or the tool that call your library will get the result. Have that understanding now, we can see how is the typical AMI modeling flow, regardless you are using C, C++, or script, right? First, you are writing the behavior for your model, right? So you need to know what your model will behave. You can gather this behavior either from the mathematical equation. If you have a behavior model, you have some equation. You can write code, regardless of language, to implement that equation. Your data may be from the measurement, right? In that case, you probably have a lot of lookup table, then you can kind of a relationship between an input and output. And then you can put that relationship into some kind of language so that it will be inside the model. So you need to identify the behavior. Next step is to code the behavior in a format which is compatible with the AMI spec. In that case, it must be implemented in C. So the first, when the simulator calls the model, it's calling your C.lll or .so. So that part, it has to be implemented in C. There's no way to get around it. But then you need to do computation, right? And then before you return the result back to the simulator. That part, it can be C, can be C++, or can be any other way. As I discussed, there is a pass by reference. We receive the argument, and then we do the computation. As long as at the end, we put the result back to that double pointer, that can complete this communication process. So it doesn't matter how you implement or how you come up with the result. So that's the key point here. Of course, then after you have everything, because you have a C, then you need to compile and you need to link with DLL and SO as well. And one troubling part is that even though we say it's written in C, there are different flavor, there are different specs. There is a C99. There is a C11, 2011. So if your operating system is, say 5 years older, the compiler may not support the 2011 syntax. So a lot of thinking needs to come up here, even though we say it's written in C. So that's why the thinking here is we want to make this layer as thin as possible. Right? If you have implemented all of this in C, that means all the library you use need to be compatible with, say, C99 or C11 standard. A lot of thinking. But if we make this layer as thin as possible, make this computation as neutral as possible, then this model can be reused in different projects. So with that, this come up with, this is what we think of a flow which can support a script. We have the link tool in the spec. when you read the spec section 10.2, 10.3, you will notice that there are several roles, right? In the AMI, there is a circuit simulator or link analysis tool. Can be edge device, can be system SI, size of component SI, that's the simulator. And then there is a model. So this is what we need to produce. The simulator will call the model according to the API. Now, the API, the model, what we can do to support the script is, as soon as we receive the argument, we can write that argument right into the plain text file. So we can take the argument, create a plain text file. This type plain text file is in the disk. Now, because you have chosen to use the language that you have chosen Python, you must be an expert in the Python. Using the Python to read the plain text file should be very easy for you. So next step is this function, after you write out all the arguments into a plain text file, it will call your Python and tell you, okay, read that file. Then your Python will read this plain text file, do all the necessary computation. When you are done, you produce another plain text file and tell the tool that, okay, I'm done. So the tool will read that plain text file, read all the data, and plot the data back into the path by reference portion and complete the transaction back to the circuit simulator. So in this process, the circuit simulator has no idea what you are doing here, right? And this is very thin there. All the transaction here is a text-based. Similarly, that way, as soon as we receive the argument, we can write that argument into a plain text file and then call the script. The path to the script can be a parameter in the MI section. And the script, it does not limit it to Python, Perl, or MATLAB. You implement the script to read the text file, do all the processing, do convolution, IFT, etc., and then produce the result. And as long as between this thin layer of AMI model and your script know where the result should be here and here, then after you are done, the model will read the plain text file, pass it again, and plug the value back to the double pointer, and then return back to the circuit simulator. So this is the scripting-based flow. This is an example. The example we also provided in the provided to the IBIS organization. Here we use the MATLAB as an example. This MATLAB file is also GNU Octave compatible. Octave syntax is very similar to MATLAB, but it's open source. So you will see that when run, our thin layer MI model create a text file. And then it call the MATLAB file or the GNU Octave. The first step is to pass the input, which is a text file. And then everything is in the memory. Then we assign our parameter. We can just call the convolution, right? Use a built-in function in the MATLAB. Then we have a result, and which is the matrix. Of course, it is the MATLAB. And then we put write this MATLAB back to the text file. And then the tool will read this data file back and pass back to the circuit simulator. Now, because these processes are all file-based, I didn't show that in part of the argument, there is a model pointer void star, right? If it's in C, you basically pass this pointer back and forth and cast to your model structure. Here, how can we accomplish that? All these are file-based. There's no prevention that your MATLAB script or your Python can store the current state of your model into a text file and read it back later. So all the transactions are file-based. So with this, we can use our script. Our choice of script can be MATLAB, Python, etc. to do the prototyping or even try to release model. But what do we need to consider before we're going to release such a model? First of all is the performance. Every time, because this is accomplished with the system call, the AMI model will call the system and call the perl.exe, then run your perl script. So each call, there is an overhead involved. If this is just, this is in the AMI init, then the performance impact is less of a concern because AMI init is called only once. But if it's in the gateway, then you will be called many times. So that's the first consideration. Now, the second consideration is distributability. Say, I have implemented my model with MATLAB. I'm going to release the model. Now, that means my client or my customer needs to have a MATLAB interpreter somewhere in his system. Otherwise, he or she will not be able to run, right? If it's a Perl, then he or she may need to install the Perl interpreter. And while it may be okay, but that will increase overhead and doesn't look very elegant. So at this point, I want to introduce the Python, right? Python is a very modern language, and it's just like similar to Perl or MATLAB. It has a math library like SDIPy or NumPy, NumericPy. So a lot of computation, numerical computation, just like MATLAB, Conval, you don't need to do the C++ coding. The more important thing is there is a mechanism called embedded Python. Your syntax of AMI can compile together with the Python shared library. Then make your AMI model Python interpreter by itself. That means I just need to release this AMI syntax model, my Python, which can be increased, no problem. And then there's no need for my end user to install the Python. So they don't need to install the Python. Python has a Python 2, Python 3. They don't need to deal with this hassle because the embedding Python mechanism will build the Python interpreter inside your AMI model. So this is the portion which is related to using the script for AMI model. Now, at this stage, let's think about, okay, so we know we have this AMI function, and we can use this pass by reference mechanism to make use of external program to fill in back the data. Now the next question is, do I really have to do that? Can I just run a simulation and put the data back? That's the thinking about using the SPICE model. I mentioned about the AMI modeling flow. Now you have a circuit, right? This is the active CTL. The first step, you probably need to derive some kind of frequency response or even a Poe and Dizzle, some behavior before you can code this into your preferred language, even if it's non, it's a Perl, Python, non-C++. So, but these are basically just a circuit simulation to realize the behavior. So the thinking is, okay, can we just throw in this circuit and let it run simulation, at the end put its response back to the reference pointer? The thinking here is because not all the circuits can be simplified into such a way. Some of the circuit cannot be even be closed loop. So in that case, you need to have some iteration. So this is, we need to talk about a highly assumption first. I mentioned that traditionally we use this MMA models, modified nodal analysis, SPICE-like time domain simulation to run many nanoseconds, right? Which is time domain. Now for gateway, for the bit by bit, which is also time domain, then why is the gateway function faster? It's because of the highly assumption. In the HSPICE, the time domain simulation, within each time step, actually there are many Newton-Raphson iterations. At the beginning of the iteration, the circuit simulator plug in the tentative nodal voltage. Then your circuit model take the nodal voltage, compute the current should be drawn or injected to a particular node. At the end of nodal, that when all the device has done this, then the system metric will be solved, see whether it converges or not. If it's not converging, then it will go to another Newton-Raphson iteration. That makes the whole thing slow. But here we have a highly assumption. This is one fundamental assumption for the nonlinear time variant circuit. Here the assumption is whatever I say voltage it is, there's no more iteration. So if I have a circuit here, if I and given the input voltage, I am not going to draw too much current from the input voltage. So there's no need for iteration at this input boundary. When I output the voltage, I have unlimited current, so I don't care about the load. Or I can assume the load is highly. So whatever voltage I say, there's no need for iteration. So this is the highly assumption. Understand that assumption, we can formulate such a circuit. As soon as we get the input stimulus, we can form a, say, piecewise linear input to drive this SPICE circuit. Then it will run simulation, right? and then it will produce some output. We just need to measure the output here, grab that and fill in to the test by reference portion of the MI function and return that back to the circuit simulator. So that's the concept. Now, what I need to mention is that in the MI function, MI init or the MI gateway, all you get is a double pointer, right? There's a, just a voltage difference. It doesn't say this is voltage between this node and ground. It just says it's a voltage difference. Voltage potential is a different voltage between difference between two nodes. So it's, say we can say this is between these two nodes. There's no reference to the ground. That means at your circuit, you probably need to provide a reference to the ground. Now, this is the concept for the different simulation MI model using the SPICE. So how do we put into the practice? Similarly, there is a link tool you will call your model. Again, this model is very thin and it does not do anything about the computation. What it does is it will convert the input double pointer into a piecewise linear waveform. Then you will form a SPICE file. Then you will call your choice of circuit simulator, right? Because of course you provide a SPICE file, right? And it, the SPICE file has predefined terminal. It has two input and two output, and that's all. You define a reference inside. So it forms a piecewise linear, and then you will hook up to your SPICE circuit and put the high Z at the output, and then run the simulation. At the end of the simulation, you either have a waveform at a, say, TR0 file at the disk, or it's in the memory, then you grab the waveform and plug it back to your MI function. And then it will return to the circuit simulation. You can do that for the gateway as well. So instead of form writing the argument into a text file, here you take the input. In this case, you don't care about the length of the your circuit, SPICE circuit does not care about the length of the matrix. You just form the piecewise linear. If you run 500 seconds, your circuit will run for 500 seconds. So you form a SPICE circuit, then call the circuit simulator on that SPICE file, and then when you have a waveform, get that waveform, process, plug it back to the MI model. So this is an example. Here we have a predefined template, right? Everything is defined, the option is defined. When we use this SPICE model, we just say we have a two input, input P and N. A piecewise linear voltage will be inserted across these two. And then we have a high Z, right? Say 1 mega ohms. And then we have a user provide circuit. Of course, in the MI file, we can provide some parameter override. So this is a temporary file, say, in the MI model, and then when the MI model gets called by the circuit simulator, it will fill in the piecewise linear source portion from the template and generate the SPICE file. Together, it will run, call the circuit simulator to run this SPICE file, which will call your circuit model. The output of this one is, say, TR0 file or raw file if you are using Berkeley SPICE. Then the MI file will just, MI model just post-process that TR0 file, get all the waveform and plug into the MI model, return to the circuit simulator. Okay, so what's the consideration if we want to release such a model? Similar to the script, right? Every time you call the SPICE file, you need to create some kind of initialization for your simulation section, right? Even if it's API level, you probably, the simulator need to allocate memory and then read in your SPICE description and run simulation. When you run simulation, you need to go to the DC, then go to change and all that stuff. So it will become slower. Again, if this is done in the MI init, then there's not much concern because it's done only once, right? If it's a POC MI model, you run for 1 second. If it's a SPICE model, you run for 1 minute, the difference is 59 seconds, but you get most accurate results. So not much concern here. If it's a gateway, if your model is run in the gateway, then it will run much slower. But you need to think about, I don't need to derive the behavior to write the code at all. So this can be useful in your development process. So the first one is the performance. The second one is distributability. Again, say if my circuit has some specific transistor model that I have to use HSPICE, that also means my customer or my client need to use HSPICE, right? Because I cannot distribute HSPICE. On the other hand, there are some open source circuit simulator like CPBSim, QUCS, NGSPICE. All this has behavior model, and their turn is very liberal. They also provide the shared library. That means my AMI model, I can distribute, say, NGSPICE. It's a Berkeley term. So I can call it NGSPICE. I just need to, users can obtain this NGSPICE for free, and then there's not much overhead. Even more, I can link my AMI model, even though it's thin layer, with this simulator library. Then make my AMI model basically a circuit simulator. And then when user call this, you provide this model, they just need to get an AMI file, DLL file, and nothing else. They don't need to install any circuit simulator. All the function model are already compiled in the AMI model. So that's the consideration using open source. You can link with it and you get the slower performance, but you get the very good accuracy.
So you are proposing this to replace the current AMI portion like this, right?
Right. So no, actually I am not proposing. I think this is the useful technique in the development process, at least, right? Say if I'm an engineer, I'm asked to deliver a model. The old way, the formal way is figure out all the equation, write C++, compile, right, before I can test. And then before I can test, I need to make sure the DLL is loadable by the many steps need to be run, right? But this provide a shortcut. So before I commit this circuit design, I can use a SPICE. Even though it runs a little bit slow, it's fine, right? I can get a result very quickly. Or I can use script. I use my favorite script, and I can deliver it quickly. If I see the result, okay, this is what we want, then I commit to write C++ code, right? So this is give you an alternative. I'm not suggesting to replace, because there's nothing to replace. All this fall into the current architecture of AMI. There's nothing need to be changed on a spec-wise. So it's doable. As I mentioned, this is not just talk on the paper. We have also provided a model user who can test it out. And it can reduce the modeling time. Even if you decide to release the pure C formal AMI model, this can be a useful technique for you to in the development process. It's an intermediate step toward a full C implementation. It's possible to distribute this model as long as you take what I mentioned into account. That including the performance. Then if this is LTI, AMI in it only, then there's not much concern because it's called only once. If you intend to release this model, make sure the turns is allowed, and then you need to distribute in a more elegant way, not asking your client or customer to download a bunch of stuff. The new Octave take 400 megabytes. If your model is only 5 megabytes, that doesn't seem elegant.
You mentioned this is an intermediate model, and you distribute or release this model to who?
To who? So, okay.
Because in the end, so it looks like you said this is another way or different approach to develop the model, right?
So, yeah. So, first of all, when you develop a model, you can use this technique.
I understand, but okay. So in the end, I get the IBCMI model, which our users can use the same way.
Right. So, the most elegant way is my user run this model without knowing how I do it. That's doable, right? Say if I write my model in a Python, if I use the embedding Python method, all my model is just a DLL. The user does not know my DLL has Python interpreter inside.
inside.
It's transparent to them. That's doable. If you say, I don't want to go that far, you can also ask them to download the Python, which is free. But if you say, to use my model, you need to install MATLAB, then it's not free, right? So you need to consider this, but all I mentioned, these are doable.
So if the model developer uses SPICE approach, SPICE-based approach, this model does need to include the SPICE engine.
Right. There are two considerations. One is model. Say if I use particular transistor model using some process, the TSMC process, there's no choice. I have to use simulator which support that process. On the other hand, if my model can be utilized with some generic transistor, say BSync model, NGSPICE QC, these are open source. These are free. They support this model. And then my end user does not need to, say, buy the HSPICE.
But the model developer doesn't want to disclose any algorithm in the script. Doesn't want to disclose
right.
any
So that's easy. So either the SPICE file or the script file can be encrypted. As long as your thin layer know how to encrypt, okay. decrypt and encrypt. So those are.
So quick question for you. If this was an IVA standards meeting and what you're suggesting, I don't believe conforms to the standard, educate me. I mean, you're saying use SPICE, IBIS is a behavioral
yes.
model. What you're suggesting doesn't adhere to
no.
the standard.
So actually, this is a conform because all the model I provided, you can run with HSPICE, you can run with hyperlinks. Now,
can you run it with a channel simulator
yes,
that is agnostic?
Yes, you can run
any
with
other engineer.
You can run with we have tested with the HSPICE, we have tested with the system SI and hyperlinks. The reason is
you're naming specific tools. What I'm talking about is
yes,
can you run them with it? Because I'm honestly puzzled. You're talking about something that
all this
SPICE and requires
right. So all these
so you're talking about using a PDK of some sort.
All this the end user does not need to know. Right? Say if you are my end user. What you receive is the .ibis file, .ami file, and .drl file, right?
Any other downloads?
That's all. You don't need to know, okay, what's the inside of DRL? I don't need to explain, say, this thing
fine,
is...
Fine, I'll get that. That's so the three files...
Only these three files.
And no other additional...
No other file.
But you needed to install the Python or...
No, right.
So that's a several approach. You can, if I'm a model engineer and I don't have much time, I can tell my end user, this is the best DRL I can use, you have to install the Python. But it's doable, as a model engineer, I can link my DRL with Python. There is an embedded Python. After doing that, my DRL has the Python interpreter and end user does not need to know.
So after the first one, the second portion, I guess, is the feasibility. You sort of, I guess, alluded to that when you mentioned this is really usable for LTI models only.
And for performance.
For performance. So I'm assuming you're talking about simulation speed.
Right. So I believe this technique is useful for model development process, right? Mm-hmm. With this technique, I can choose to start writing my C code from the very beginning, or I can use this kind of shortcut. And I get my result. Okay, after I have my result, I can make decision. I want to implement this language or circuit simulation, circuit behavior into the C, or I can just release this. You have a choice. Whatever choice you release, as I mentioned, it needs to be elegant. Your end user does not need to know. You should not ask your end user to install lots of stuff. And that's all doable.
So if I understand you right, the person making the model doesn't have to know that much C++ or how to make a library. You can just use Python.
Right. A lot of this can be taken care of in the thin layer of C. If I actually, for example, this if you Google this example model is available online. This model is very neutral. It has nothing to deal with the circuit behavior. What it does is get an argument right into a text file. Call your script through a system call and pass the data back into. So you only need to do this once, right? You don't need to compile tests on different platforms. and then you can write your script, which.
So right in the beginning, you talked about the .ami file. You said something, I didn't know. You said, can you ignore something?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. This
so this part is, say, if I am a model engineer and ask to model the AMI, if they look at this one, probably the, and if they are thinking they need to pass this parameter, this is not a trivial test, right? You, this user can define this a tree-like structure. But what I want to show here is this test is handled by circuit simulator. Circuit simulator will pass this AMI file. They will use this portion, the green, the blue portion. Only the red portion, the model specific, is passed into the theory file. Even that, when the model receives this information, it's already simplified to a simple key and value pair. So to write the MATLAB file, I am not a MATLAB expert. If I am asked to write a pass to pass this, this probably say 1 week work. But if I am asked to pass this string of key and value, it's much simpler.
One of my curiosity about this attempt is that you are writing the behavior of the equalizer in a SPICE circuit, right? And you said you tested with the actual channel. And so, and also you mentioned that I think this is general consensus that one of the big assumptions in IDC-AMI protocol is high impedance connection, the single directional waveform, main waveform out kind of interface, right? And so if you, once you put that your SPICE description into the SPICE simulation,
well, so
it will take the non-linear.
Right, so that, yes. But this is true, not particular to this implementation, right? When you write your C code, it's already highly impeded.
Right, right. So did you find any difference because of that, or the SPICE model?
Certainly, it will be different, right? Because your nominal SPICE is not does not assume highly.
Right, right,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
But
so
as soon as you decide to use the channel simulator,
mm-hmm.
which is now modified nodal analysis based,
mm-hmm.
you are already making the decision, say, I'm sacrificing accuracy to get
exactly.
More.
So, did you see like a noticeable difference? In
that depends on your circuit. If your circuit is low sensitive, of course you will see difference.
Okay. Okay.
But the assumption of a channel simulator is highly. This is not
that's
just
right.
In our paper, you see all
okay.
In all the papers.
Then, the quick question then. High impedance output assumption is the AMI assumption or the your tool assumption?
Not my tool, it's I think it's AMI assumption. You can see this highly in the design comp paper, in the key side.
Right.
So that's how they does
yeah,
not.
The spec says,
right.
So the output impedance of whatever circuit
right.
should be low.
Yeah. Right, so there's no iteration. When you say this voltage is 3 volt, it will not go down because the load draws more current. It will stay at 3 volt. And there's no need for Newton-Raphson iteration here. Let's speed up the process, even though this is also time domain. That's all I have.
Okay. All right, perfect.
Thank you.